Is it spooky season again? With the amount of zombie movies we've been covering, it sure feels like it. But nothing says holiday like a group of meddling teens, an evil headmaster, and the spirit of the undead. This week we discuss the whimsical, magical Christmas movie, Anna and the Apocalypse. Spoilers for the opening scene of Phantom of the Opera musical.
Now that we've complained and we've wondered about why they didn't put caramel on things, welcome to In Media Les, the podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be discussing the 2017 British Christmas zombie musical film, Anna and the Apocalypse, directed by John McPhail, screenplay by Alan MacDonald and Ryan McHenry. A lot of nicknames. McPhail, McDonald, McHenry.
McDonald.
I just noticed that. The cast includes Ella Hunt, Malcolm Cummings, Sarah Swire, Christopher Laveau, Marley Sue, Ben Wiggins, Mark Benton, and Paul Kay. None of those are particularly famous. Paul Kay was on Game of Thrones as Theros of Myr, I believe. Mark Benton, is he the one who went on to be in Witcher, or is that...
I don't know. Which one?
Mark Benton, the curly hair guy.
The curly haired guy.
The evil stud muffin.
Ben Wiggins?
Ben Wiggins. That's Ben Wiggins? Then why does he not have a Wikipedia page? Mark Benton does. Who's Mark Benton?
That's the dad. I was very confused for a second.
I am very confused all the time. Anyway, so this movie is, I feel like it's like the definition of like cult classic, or like going to be a cult classic, because it's just so weird and not conventionally good. Go ahead.
I can see how movies like this become cult classics.
Yes.
I don't think this one specifically will make it into that. Because the first time I've heard of it was when it first came out. And the second time I've heard of it was 5 years later, yesterday, on Christmas or whatever it is. Christmas Eve, 2 days ago.
I don't know. Doesn't that mean that it's kind of catching on in some way?
That I've only saw it when it released and then because you guys wanted to watch it as the second time I heard it?
I mean, like 5 years later, though, like it wasn't forgotten.
I guess.
How many movies have come out in 2017 and just, like, you're never going to think or hear about again?
But you guys are theater people.
I am not a theater person.
But all of your friends are theater people.
Okay. They're your friends, too.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's okay. Why we're aware of it. But I've never heard it anywhere outside of 2 days ago, is what I'm saying. It could be. Okay. Like, I'm not against it. It's fun. We had a lot of fun watching it. We have inside jokes with it now, like Human Boy. And
is this the first time we've talked about a musical, by the way?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh my. I feel like this is a special occasion. Our first musical.
Our first musical.
Oh. Okay. But before we get into like the whole thing, we should do a plot summary.
It's a zombie movie. There's no plot.
There's a little bit. Okay, what's the premise, at least? Do you want to do it or should I do it?
A group of students are in a town that gets overrun by zombies overnight.
During Christmas.
And it's a musical, so they sing a bunch. Yep. And they're trying to get to the school where their parents are said to be not locked up.
Taking refuge. Yes.
And basically, that's pretty much it.
Yep, everyone becomes a zombie except for the main character and Ben Wiggins, aka Nick.
And the lesbian.
And the lesbian, Steph. Is that Steph or is that Lisa? Yes,
Steph. Lisa is the excellent and cool best friend who is probably the best character-ish. She's competing for best character with Nick, in my opinion.
Okay. So before we get into, well, I guess you got best characters. So your favorite are Lisa and Nick. Why?
Lisa is great because she convinced a group of high school boys to not only rehearse, but rehearse well for a performance for, like, was it like a Christmas talent show or something?
I guess it was supposed to be like a Christmas variety act, I guess. I don't know.
Whatever it was, she got like six guys to do it with her. And I don't know, like, I've been in high school. You can't get two guys to work on something together. You know what I mean?
Like, all good Christmas movies, there's a non-specific competition that is coming up that they have to prepare for.
And she's super cool.
Yes.
And I feel like she doesn't take life too seriously, but she takes it seriously enough that she probably already submitted her college applications. She has that vibe.
Okay. Do they, like, apply to college the same way we do?
I don't know.
I have no idea. If you are British, please let us know how your college system
I think they have,
works.
Like... school, then they have college, which is, I guess, like our associate's degree, but not really, but kinda. And then they go to university.
I thought they have to do something called like A levels.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's like
someone explained this to us like we're toddlers.
Yeah, if you are British and want to be on the show to explain the British education system to us, please let us know.
We'll do it. We'll do it. We don't know. and Nick is my favorite because he's not annoying. Also, he's like, you know, in a zombie movie when there are people and they're doing just the dumbest things and you're like, you know, there are zombies out there. In the universe that these characters exist in, there are zombie movies. You should know how to behave at least a little.
Yeah.
This guy knows how to behave at least a little. Like, they were doing everything right. Him and his crew, like, they were raiding stores for, like, legitimate supplies and not dumb stuff. How, like,
Siren. Oh man, it's a long one.
They were raiding stores for like water, toilet paper, you know, things like that. Just like, you know, things you might need in an apocalypse. Important stuff. And they were in fact clearing the way for the main crew for a good chunk of the movie. I don't know, he got things done. And I like frat boy characters.
Okay. Yeah, I appreciate the fact that he was like, okay, it's a zombie outbreak. I'm going to kill zombies. And you got to appreciate someone who's just like, they understand the stakes. They understand what they need to do. That's all you got to do. And it's also, can we appreciate the fact that they call them zombies?
Yes, which is what you were talking about with...
It's something that drives me crazy.
So the girl many with all the gifts. It. Yeah.
Just call them zombies. I don't like it. Just call them zombies. Like, you don't need to invent some clever thing or call them Zeds or...
I was just going to say, yeah, things like Zeds and...
Yeah.
And runners.
Wow, someone is really making a lot of noise on your end.
I've let every person who I possibly could know that I'm recording, but it is what it is.
It's holidays time. Okay, so I agree that I feel like I really like Nick as a character. I think he's very complicated because, not very complicated, he's actually very simple, but it's a lot more interesting to have the like evil frat boy-ish character or jock character. First of all, he's not very jock looking. It's a weird movie in that the nerdy character is not very nerdy and the jock character is not very jock-like.
Yeah. Also, he might not be, like, complicated, but he does have depth to his character that most other characters did not.
Yes, he has some pathos.
For example, Nick is the only one who had to kill his dad. He's the only one who actually killed a loved one.
We see a lot of other people grapple with that idea of it, and he's the only one who seems to be able to do it.
Not only that, but he did it, and, like, that was his thing to deal with. None of the other characters were aware of it until Anna found out in the very end. You know what I mean? Like, everyone else was, like, scared of that. That was a fear they had. But for him, it was reality. And it recontextualizes his character for the entirety of the movie.
Yeah.
Steph didn't have depth, right? John didn't have depth. Even Anna didn't, in a sense. Like, all of them were just like, I want to get out of this small town, or I have a crush. While this dude is like, I killed my dad. And, like, now this is the world we live in. Except for Lisa. Lisa's chill.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I feel like Nick's song also, I'm looking up the title of his song, Soldier at War.
Yeah.
I feel like, again, it is about kind of embracing that kind of, like, this is the reality of the situation we find ourselves in, and therefore we have to kill all the zombies. And it's just, you gotta appreciate that sort of realism.
Yeah, he stood out.
Yes.
You know, he was a jerk in the first, like, 15 minutes of the movie. But then, I don't know, like, I think I said fairly early on that, I like his character. It was after the lunch scene, but before we got into the zombie stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I just like frat boy characters. They're a vibe. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Like, good for them.
I mean, you played one in 10 Candles, so it makes sense.
I sure did. It was fun.
You have an aesthetic that you're into. Okay, so I'm thinking, while we're on the characters, are there any characters who really didn't work for you? I guess I haven't said my favorite character, but we'll do that after you answer this question.
Yeah. I think it's important that I talk some more.
Yes. I'm tired, so if you just want to talk, I will just lean back.
Who didn't work for me?
Or, like, who was your least favorite character?
Okay, controversial opinion. Steph did nothing for me.
Okay.
I didn't mind her. I didn't like her.
But that's a lesbian.
That's the lesbian.
That's the lesbian. That was what Valix exclaimed the moment Steph was on the screen. That's the lesbian.
No, I didn't know there was a lesbian, and I said that's a lesbian. Important okay, a distinction. Lesbian.
Okay, they come in six packs now.
Because when we first started watching it, right, everyone was like, I wonder who Val will like, Steph or Anna. And I was like,
I knew you weren't gonna like Steph, just to be clear.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that you knew, because Becky was so shocked by that.
Oh no, I know you well enough to know that you are not going to like Steph, this token lesbian do-gooder whose whole identity is that, like, she's stressed just anxious about things. Yeah,
and, like, I don't know, like, she's not even like a do-gooder. She just...
Well, there's the whole thing about her wanting to take those presents to the charities, and she's, like, researching social justice on a computer at one point.
Yeah, but that's just a lesbian. Okay, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I think also the fact that she has a girlfriend, quote-unquote, that just, like, is not in the movie at all.
Yeah.
And is never spoken about ever, mentioned once. Like, that was weird. I guess it would have been worse if they tried to, like, fit the girlfriend in somehow as well.
Yeah.
But they could have just not had her have a girlfriend. She could have just had, like, a rainbow pin or something. That's how they could have explained it. Like, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But they mentioned the girlfriend so that we know she's gay, even though she looks very, very dykey. Like, I don't know. She was too anxious for me. I don't like characters that are that anxious. Chris was actually, I was going to say Chris at first, that's Lisa's boyfriend, he's like the film guy, but he was fine, like, he didn't have a huge part in the movie.
Yeah.
His death was cute.
I thought he was cute. Yeah, I thought he was cute. He's just like this well-meaning, kind of hapless guy, whereas Lisa totally, like, she's the one who wears the pants in that relationship, to use a very tired old, kind of maybe sexist trope. I don't know why my mind went to that, but...
No, she definitely does.
Yeah, she's
great.
But,
like, in a way that she adores him so much, so it doesn't feel like that. She's just, like, the more extroverted person who's probably more likely to take charge in situations.
Yeah.
And Chris is just like, I'm gonna take a video of all of us and make a nice movie.
And then play that movie as we become zombies.
I want to say Savage didn't work for me. He was too cartoony.
I don't know, like, I kind of love that.
But yeah, at the same time, it makes sense in a zombie Christmas musical movie. Like, it was fine. I don't know, like, he was fine too. I don't think there was a character that I didn't like.
Yeah.
I think most of them just left no impression except for Lisa and Nick. I don't know why. It's just my preference.
Okay.
Anna's just hot, you know?
Yeah.
Who's Katie? There's a Katie on the cast list, but I don't know who that is.
I have no idea.
Is that Asthma Girl?
might be Asthma Girl. I have no idea.
So who are your favorites?
Okay. I mean, I actually really like Paul Kaye's Arthur Savage. I think it's a very cartoonish form. Like, he's there to twirl his mustache, or in this case, his very lengthy beard. He does it with some degree of aplomb. You know, he's clearly just like, this is a goofy role. I'm going to be like mwahahaing all my way through it. And he does that. And I love his singing voice too, because it's just so like...
He has the Joplin voice that he does.
Yes. It is a total Joplin voice.
I also do appreciate that, like, they didn't waffle his evil moments.
What do you mean by that?
He did let zombies into the school and everyone did die. It wasn't some thing where he... Like, they didn't chicken out on consequences of Savage's actions. And in a lot of movies, they would have, like, dramatized that and showed us what he did or whatever, right? But here it's fairly simple. Like, he let the zombies in, everyone turned, that's it. I kind of appreciated that, too.
Yeah, I mean, and his motivation was pretty simple. He just hates other people. Like...
He's the headmaster of the school.
Yeah, he thinks he's more important and better than everyone, and he thinks they're all beneath him. They're all just animals, so he might as well turn them all into animals anyway.
Yeah, basically. And he's the most important, and so are the policies and procedures within the school.
Yeah.
Like, that is law for him. That's, like, what it says is what goes. There are a lot of plot holes in this. But usually those things kind of bother me. Here, I didn't care because it's a silly, silly movie.
Yeah, it's a musical. They always have a lot of plot holes. It can be explained through the power and magic of song. But I don't know. Okay, but so I really like Arthur Savage. I actually really liked... Anna, actually. Not just because she was hot, but also because... I don't know. I feel like she owns her sexuality in a really interesting way. Whereas, like, I feel like...
Yeah.
I feel like in you know, because she hooked up with Nick and kind of wanted more with that. And John, her best friend, almost kind of puts her on this pedestal of her being this, like, chaste girl that he's in love with. And, you know, he tries to defend her from Nick, not realizing that she had hooked up with Nick and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, I think
not only hooked up, like, apparently in the end we find out that they did date for a little bit.
Yes.
It was serious, at least from Anna's side, and it seemed like it might have been serious from Nick's, but he just either got cold feet or priorities changed.
Yeah. So I appreciate the fact that she, I don't know, she's just open about the fact that, like, yeah, we hooked up and I wanted more and you were emotionally unavailable and that sucked. And it just feels very mature for a high school student to kind of be like that. So, yeah.
And also, she very, like, confidently rejected John.
Yeah.
Which was also, like, a really cool scene. Because usually, yes. Like, the main character feels bad about it and, like, puts it off for a while. But she was just like, oh, you're my best friend. No, John, listen, you are my best friend.
Yeah.
And then he, like, got it. But, like, that was also a fairly refreshing scene.
Yeah. I also, okay, I didn't like Steph overall, but I really did like the scene at the end where Steph shows up in the car and says, like, boom, saved your life.
Yes. She does have moments.
Yes.
When she's sneaking into Savage's office to get her keys back.
Yeah.
Like, that scene I really liked. And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, agency on screen and just, like, being able to do things.
Yeah.
There's always a place for, like, a bumbling fool, but here they had Steph be the bumbling fool while at the same time being, like, super anxious, but also apparently extremely competent, and, like, those three things don't really clash together really well. For example, like, the closest I have, like, off the top of my head to compare her to is Shaggy, right? Like, he's kind of a bumbling fool, but he is competent, right? But in a way that is consistent and, like, we're used to it and we understand that character. With Steph, I couldn't figure her out quite as much. Like, when they're fighting in the bowling alley, right?
Yeah.
She's resourceful. And it seems like she's really good at fighting. But I don't think she ever actually killed a zombie. I feel like every time she, like, almost kills a zombie, except for that toilet scene. She almost kills a zombie, and then someone else finishes the zombie off, because they keep getting up after she tries to kill them.
Yeah.
And I don't know, something about that just, like, didn't make sense to me with her characterization.
Hmm.
And maybe it just wasn't the actor's type of acting. I don't know what it was, but it just didn't feel very consistent to me. Although I did like that last line where she's like, saved your... What was it?
She says, like, boom, saved your life.
But, like, I did like her last line and all that. But throughout the movie, she was there.
That she was.
You know what this movie does have?
What does
it have? It has a good sense of humor about it. The people making this movie knew it wasn't going to be the most amazing movie, right?
Yeah.
They probably knew it wasn't going to have high ratings or anything like that. But the way they went about filming it, there's so much funny stuff with the zombies, like, themselves, right? For example, and not only that, but there's a lot of touching stuff as well. Especially in the end, when everyone's kind of a zombie. We have Chris and Lisa, and, you know, they're shuffling along back and forth. And Chris, I think his movie was playing in the background, right?
Yes.
So his movie that he filmed about all of his friends is in the background. And then the two of them are now zombies because they got bit. And they're walking and their hands keep brushing against each other. And, like, that was adorable and sad. And especially because at this point we're like, we watched the two of them search for each other.
Yeah.
And Chris finally finds her. And they reunite. And they save Steph's life. They do. But they end up getting bit in the process. And, like, by that point, we really like these characters. That was upsetty spaghetti, as one would say. And then we have John with his, like, really excellent Christmas sweater. And it's a sweater that has, like, little lights on it, and it lights up.
Yeah.
And when he turns into a zombie, right, he's just kind of sitting there being his zombie self.
Yep.
And accidentally turns the sweater off, and, like, he's mesmerized by it. And I don't know, something about that was just so sad. And, like, legitimately made me feel a little bit of, like, oh, no.
Yeah. It was a really, it was actually a genuinely kind of very heartbreaking moment.
Yes. Yeah.
And the actor did it really well. Like, he... You know, they're doing the kind of jerky zombie motions, and the way he does it, it's just, it's really sad.
It was very sad.
Okay, so now, the most important part of any musical, what songs were your favorite?
Well, I liked the song when they're walking to the graveyard, John and Anna.
Yeah.
I think it was either the first or second song, like the main song, the song from the trailer, if... Whoever listens to this podcast goes and looks up the trailer, it would be the song from that. That's fun. It's where she's walking down the street and everything is chaos, but she's in headphones.
Oh, Turning My Life Around.
Sure.
That's like the sixth song.
No. It's in the beginning.
It's, dude, I'm looking at the soundtrack right now. It's the sixth song.
There were five songs before the zombie stuff started?
Yes.
What?
Because there's, it starts with Christmas Means Nothing Without You. Then Breakaway, then Hollywood Ending in the Lunch Court, the Fish Wrap, with the penguins, and then It's That Time of Year, which is the sexy song that Lisa does.
Oh, dang. Well, I thought and it was then, like the first song.
And then Turning My Life Around.
All right. Well, apparently the sixth song.
Yes.
Is a really good one. And just because we got Human Boy out of it, I need a human
that's,
voice
that's
song.
Some human voice.
yes
that song's not that song though. Oh, that you're saying that separately.
Yeah the,
you
those
said
two.
It in like the same thought. It was very confusing. Okay.
I only have one thought at a time, Chloe.
Okay. I really like Give Them a Show.
Which one Always was that
the song between
that's
the
Nick's
villain.
Right. Oh,
nope. Okay. That's the one at the end where I don't know, Anna and the villain are singing.
Gotcha.
Gotta enjoy a duet where they're laying out their opposing worldviews.
Where she put her ponytail up.
Yes.
Man, when women tie their hair up in shows and movies and whatever, it's like, ooh, they're about to do something.
Yeah.
And I like it so much.
Why are they able to do it so smoothly and it looks so good? And meanwhile, I do it. I'm like, oh, I missed three strands. And also, like, it's 45 degrees to the side. And
well, here's the thing. Look, her hair did look very messy, but in, like, such a good way.
Yeah.
And guess what? It was made to be like that because it's a movie and they do makeup and stuff, Chloe.
But I can still be jealous.
I know. I get very jealous because a lot of girls actually do that.
You don't have enough hair right now to do that, so.
No, I do not. And I don't think I ever could.
Okay.
My sister can do it. It's like, what the heck?
It's like a superpower. Good for her. That the straights have. That's going to be the weirdest. Oh, God. I don't know why I said that. It's been a long day. Okay. So one thing we were talking about with our friends, though, is that it feels like it's missing a song somewhere.
Yes.
And I was trying to think about what that song would be and where you would put it. So I'm putting you on the spot and posing that question. Like, if you could, given this, you know, what you've experienced and your feeling and the feeling that we had when we talked about that there should be one more song, where should it be? What should it be about? Who should be singing it?
Huh. Well, here's the thing. I thought the first song... Well, I thought the sixth song was the first song. You know what I mean? So, as far as being the person to ask this, definitely not a great choice. I don't remember, but there was a period of time in the movie where there was just no songs.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what part it was. But it was just, there was a section where it felt like there was a long time between songs.
I think it's between Soldier at War and Nothing's Going to Stop Me Now.
Which is between Nick joining them and then Savage singing.
Yes.
That makes sense because they have that very, very long scene where, first of all, like, John confesses to Anna and she's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
And then they have the whole tree thing, which felt like it was gonna be a song, but it wasn't.
Right.
I think maybe that's it, yeah.
That's exactly where I'm kind of focusing in on. It's like, there should be a song there. And I almost felt like, okay, not almost. I feel like it should be a song about, like, because it feels like the Christmas aesthetic kind of dies out towards the end in some ways. Like,
mm-hmm.
They almost abandon it. And it's, I would like a song in that kind of, it should be like a cast song about how, like, I don't know, because of the zombies, whatever Christmas is has changed, or there is no Christmas, or, like,
Because they're in, like, an emporium of trees.
Exactly. They're in a Christmas tree, like, I don't know what you call that kind of, an emporium
warehouse. Is a good word.
Dealership? I don't know what the word is.
They're in a tree dealership.
They're in a tree marketplace?
Maybe.
Auctioneer?
A shop. I don't know.
A shop. Ye old Christmas tree shop. Yeah, I guess just like a song there maybe about like Christmas and like it's changing meaning and give everyone like a little thing about how like what they used to do for Christmas and then ending it with what's his name, John getting bitten would be a good ending for it.
Yeah, like that could have been great.
Yeah.
I understand why they didn't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they could have.
Yes.
Especially because there was a song playing. There was, like, no speaking in that. Maybe they, like, called out each other's names once or twice. But, like, it was a pretty lineless scene.
Yes. And, okay. So, the Wikipedia just says that there were two songs that were deleted. One called Which Side Are You On? And the other called Some Things Will Never Change. I wonder if Some Things Will Never Change, because that sounds like the type of song that might be in the Christmas tree farm. I wonder if that was cut.
Well, maybe when Anna and John are talking or something. But, like, I'm glad that whatever the song, Which Side Are You On? I feel like that would have been between Nick and Anna.
Yeah.
And, like, their friend groups. We didn't need that because we already had Nick's song. So I guess one of them is good. It's a good cut. The other we'll never know.
I'm looking at it because it's in the bonus features of the Blu-ray. Uh-huh. We can see where it came. Oh, it was the dad.
Oh, then, yeah, we didn't need it. We did not need it.
Some things will never change. It was him singing about, like, the fact that his daughter was planning on leaving.
I don't think we needed that.
Yeah, no, we don't need that at all. Which side are you on? This was Savage and the father singing to the survivors, trying to convince them, I guess, of their different worldviews. So again, I guess it seems like the dad had more of a role and they kind of just cut that part out.
Which is fine. I don't think we needed the dad.
I don't think we, you know, this was not his, it's not his musical. It's not Anna's dad in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
So I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine with them just being.
And
like,
also because they're like separated, you know?
Yeah. And the whole point is that she's going to find him and his status is kind of a mystery. And so having a bunch of scenes where he's alive and well kind of disarms the whole Anna's trying to figure out if her dad's okay before she leaves. So, yeah, it makes more sense not to include those songs. I mean, although I am always for, like, more of something, this is one of those times where I see why they cut them.
Yeah. Well, okay, so there is something that we missed, and I think I've changed who my favorite character is, actually.
Uh-oh.
It's the candy cane.
Okay.
I do want to mention it.
Her weapon of choice. Anna's weapon of choice is a one of those candy canes you stake in the yard that, you know, like, it's got a sharp point so you can easily pierce the frozen Christmas ground.
And I just want to say, this has nothing to do with anything, but that candy cane survived hell. Because in real life, those things don't weigh anything.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have done anything. But Anna seems like she's very type A in a sense, and she made it work, and that candy cane did survive a lot.
It's a very iconic weapon, too. It's like the cricket bat in Shaun of the Dead.
Yes, absolutely. And, like, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, like, I think they could have done more with it, but there were a lot of improvised weapons that were neat. Like, at some point, Steph stabs a zombie in the mouth with, like, a spatula.
Yep.
And that was neat. Like, Steph killed a zombie with a toilet seat.
Yep.
What else was there? I feel like there were some creative kills. There's the bowling ball to the head.
Yeah.
The squish squash. They could have done more with, they could have done more with Anna being a really good shot.
Yeah.
Because they showed it to us. Like, they showed her punting a bowling shoe into the bowling shoe bin in the beginning. And then I think she did the same thing in the very final battle.
Yeah.
But, like, we could have used a third instance of her being great at soccer or hockey or whatever. I don't remember. I think she punted it with a mop the first time and then she kicked it in the end. I
believe it's called football when you're talking about England.
That joke is somehow funnier the second time.
I'm going to keep making that joke every time. I made that joke with our friends. So, I mean, yeah. But yes, Chekhov's bowling shoe.
Yes.
Part of me wonders, I was thinking about this, you know, because this is like my third or fourth time watching it. Watching with you. And I think I realized that I think that, like, maybe they were pretty limited on budget and they couldn't do anything too violent that required any kind of choreography because they probably couldn't afford any complicated choreography. And that's why I think you realize that, like, a lot of the deaths, whether it's killing a zombie or a person getting bitten, it's very, like, slow and very obviously, like, this isn't, like, Marvel stunt choreography, right? It's, like, very basic stuff. Like, yeah, the stabbing in the mouth is, like, the zombie's walking towards her and the mouth's open and she puts it in there and then there's a bunch of fake blood. Like, it becomes more evident, I think, in the final scene where Anna is fighting all the zombies trying to get to the stage to free her father. And it's just, like, it feels, like, very video gamey because all the zombies are standing there and they approach her, like, one at a time for her to take each one out very clumsily and carefully, probably again because they could not afford to do, like, you know, like, the very expensive, because, like, I was watching,
it's hard to coordinate.
Well, it's also really expensive because if you're doing anything where a person, like, falls over, you have to have, like, all these, it takes actually a lot of, like, you have to make sure for liability reasons and insurance purposes that, like, you have to have something soft for them to fall on, and you have to practice it, and you have to have a safety coordinator. So actually just something as simple as, like, tripping a zombie and stabbing it in the head can be very, very expensive. And that's why I think a lot of it with the cane was just her being, like, she pushes the zombies back with it. Or, you know, she stabs them and they die, but we don't really see them die. And it's just like, when you look at it through that lens, I think the budgetary issues of what was clearly like a passion project of a movie becomes very clear, which is not to say that it's bad. Like, I think they did a really good job with what they had, and I really love this movie, and I watch it like every Christmas. But I just wanted to point out that, like, because you were saying, like, they didn't do as much with it as you think they could have, and I think that's why.
Probably. I think it shows the most in Nick's song, because there's a whole, like, montage of zombies getting hit and killed, but it's like, we don't see them get hit. They just fall to the ground one after the other.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get my soapbox, and I'm going to be controversial here. I really dislike it when Broadway musicals are made into motion pictures. I don't think they usually end up all that good compared to the original thing. I understand that, like, not everyone can go see a musical in person. There's a lot of different reasons that a person would prefer a movie to, you know, a stage musical, whether it's like maybe they just don't come out to where you are, or maybe, you know, it's a lot more expensive, obviously, to see live theater. Cats of the World aside, which, you know, bad.
What, you didn't like that?
I mean, I enjoyed it in the sense that, like, it was very fun to make fun of. Which is, again, unfortunate because Cats is based on a book of poems by T.S. Eliot. And I love T.S. Eliot. And I love the original poems.
And you have two cats.
And I have two cats. So, like, this should be something that's, like, perfect for me, but I hate it. But, like, the Phantom of the Opera movie, pretty mediocre. You know, Les Mis, you know, there's some good individual performances, but overall it's... And then I can name a bunch of others, but, like, the point is that, like, I'd rather see all the money that is spent to make, like, Phantom of the Opera. Like, they probably spent hundreds of millions of dollars making it into, like, this big movie spectacle. And, like, I'm guessing Anna and the Apocalypse had a budget of, like, less than $1 million. And just imagine what they could have done if they just had a little bit more money. And it makes me a little sad. And I know that, like, that's indie film for you. Like, they're always, you know, going to be making these very interesting, innovative films with very small budgets. And that's part of what makes indie film interesting. But, like, I just think about some of the shortcomings of this musical. And I think a lot of them could have been addressed with more money. And I think that's unfortunate. And I think, I don't know, I wish big film studios would bet more, big producers would bet more on...
Like smaller productions.
Musicals that are meant for movies. Like, because I feel like that's the problem. When you make Phantom of the Opera, which is a stage musical, into a movie, you have to, they're different mediums. And, you know, a stage musical.
Yeah, it's not going to necessarily work on a screen in a home.
Right.
As opposed to, like, a really big production on a stage.
Yeah, part of the spectacle of Phantom, I guess, spoilers for, you know, a 40-year-old musical.
And but Sarah. Like,
but, like, one of the amazing things is when Phantom starts, you know, there's this dramatic moment where the chandelier, which is hanging above the audience, not above the stage, explodes, you know, with light. And it's just, like,
dang.
It's very dazzling. And, like, you know, there's these moments of, like, or, like, when I saw Jesus Christ Superstar when I was, like, 10, and I still remember they it was set in, like, you know, the modern time, and the Roman guards were dressed like riot police, and they had flashlights, and they were, you know, during the overture, they're walking around in these kind of, like, riot guard uniforms, shining these flashlights, and they're walking down the aisles of the theater, and it's just so interactive and draws you in this way that, like,
so actually,
a movie version can't.
You know what you need to do next Christmas when we rewatch this all together?
I need to dress up as a zombie and, like, pop out and scare you or something?
I was gonna say, yeah, like the Santa zombie.
Okay.
In the end. Or just have the candy cane bat.
I need to make this more interactive.
Yeah.
Or, like, audience interaction. I'm not saying, like, audience interaction necessarily, but I guess I'm just saying that they're different formats.
Yes, and that absolutely. And they're written for a different audience.
I wish there were more musicals that came straight to movies that they had more of an investment. I'm trying to think of other movie musicals. The only ones that are coming to mind are Disney and then like High School Musical, which I guess is also Disney. But the point is, I'd love to see more musicals in movies, and I'd like to see not just like adaptations of stage ones, because I feel like also that's, I don't know, it's limiting in some way. Anyway.
You know what this movie reminds me of more so than like musicals or whatever?
What?
There was a movie in 2015, Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. It has a very, very similar vibe. It's a movie about a group of Boy Scouts and a zombie apocalypse happens, and they basically are, you know, working together to, I don't remember the plot, but it's probably the same thing, to get to a place, right?
Mm,
yeah. And I think it might be a little more for a mature audience. I remember some slightly inappropriate moments, so maybe like not as general audience as Anna, but like it has a very similar vibe of being just like a very silly zombie movie that doesn't have to make any sense, but it's also like fun.
Okay.
And you can watch it once and it's fine. It's not a thinking movie, but it's, if you're watching with like a group of people, it's just, it's fun.
Okay.
And then on the other end of that spectrum, we have things like a Zombieland, which is a higher quality version of this, I think.
Yeah.
But still silly.
Zombieland's a lot, I think, even a bit more meta than this.
Yes.
There's a little more self-awareness.
Yes. Eh, I wouldn't say more self-awareness. I feel like it had a bigger budget. That's really all that was to it. Because there isn't a plot either, you know? At least not that I remember. Maybe they're getting to a place.
Yeah.
They're zombies.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, this movie felt like whoever made it and the people working on it and the actors, it feels like they just had fun and cared about it. Like, it might not have had a great budget, but it made some money and, like, it was fun and it brought me joy. I don't know.
Yeah, and then, I agree.
And then we watched Glass Onion the next day and I was like, oh, this is so much better.
Well, we'll have to do one about Glass Onion.
Yeah, because there is a queer character.
Spoiler.
It's not a spoiler to say there's a queer character.
Okay. It's presented as kind of a reveal, but have you watched the first one, by the way?
I have not.
Oh my gosh, we need to watch that first and talk about that first, although there's no real queerness in that. Anyway, I think we are clearly far afield. A little bit shorter episode, I think that's okay.
That's all right. I mean, it's
the holidays.
It's the holidays. It's like a, not a thought. Like, this movie doesn't have a brain cell because the zombies ate it. You know what I mean? Like,
our friendship group and brain cells, our obsession with talking about the amount, consistency, and ownership of brain cells never ceases to amaze me.
Okay.
What?
I don't know. That was a great line. A quote by Chloe before the end of the year.
Okay, put that in our Discord. Any final thoughts?
No, the zombies got it.
Zombies ate my neighbors.
Which is something we talked about during the movie.
Such a good video game. Anyway, thank you all so much for tuning in. I want to mention our social media. Our Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest is @InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. Our Tumblr is
thepodinmedialess.tumblr.com. Yes, I got to do it again. I
didn't steal it from you this time. Our website is inmedialess.com. You can email us at inmedialess@gmail.com. Thank you for rating, liking, subscribing, interacting with us in any way, shape, or form, and generally just being good, awesome people who listen to our podcast.
Yeah. Oh, that's my line. I was like, felt like there was something more there. This happens every single week.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays, everyone.
And we'll see you next year.
Oh, God. You had to do it that way. See you next year. Oh, it's
and
so funny.
We'll see you next year.
Oh, God. It's so funny when people say
that. And we'll
see
you next year.
And God bless you.
Also, this was here since yesterday, bro.
It's disgusting. There's no sugar.
Okay, why would you leave it in here?
They didn't give me any caramel.
Why didn't they give you caramel?
I don't know. They're rude.